Richard Gregory fue asistente principal del fiscal de los Estados Unidos en la Florida. Hizo parte del equipo que condenó, por ejemplo, al colombiano Fabio Ochoa. Acabamos de revelar en exclusiva un documento que es una directriz presidencial que la ejecuta la Fiscalía de los Estados Unidos, en donde hay directrices que cambian la lucha contra el narcotráfico. Yo no sé, Ana, si él ya vio el documento, pero básicamente lo que observamos es que hay nuevas directrices para ir por los capos y no por los intermediarios. Es decir, ir mucho más a trabajar contra el narcotráfico en las fronteras de los Estados Unidos. Pero ¿qué impacto tiene que ya el intermediario, el lanchero, la mula, el narco menor no sea perseguido por Estados Unidos? ¿Qué opina él sobre esta nueva directriz?
Good morning, Mr. Gregory. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio.
Thank you for having me. I apologize, my Spanish is not good enough to conduct this interview in Spanish,
no,
but I will
worries.
Do my best.
No worries. I don't know if you were able to see this document that it's being released by the Department of Justice, in which basically they're changing how the U.S. is dealing with drug dealers, crime organizations, meaning that they're not going to worry about the little man or the middleman anymore. They're going to focus only on the head of the cartels and perhaps a bit more in controlling the amount of drugs that is entering through the border. What do you think about this, specifically the change of not worrying about the little man, the middleman, and only thinking about prosecuting or trying to extradite to the U.S. the main cartel leaders?
Well, I think that's a difficult prospect without being able to go after the people actually transporting the drugs and going after the money that's being moved. Like in any business, there are a number of people involved, and I certainly applaud them for wanting to go after the leaders of the cartel. We did that back in the 1980s and 1990s. We did pretty well with the cartels then, but they shifted to Mexico and the Colombians still were moving their drugs, but moving them from Colombia through Mexico to the U.S. So things have changed to some degree. The biggest problem that I see right now is that we're in a political season in the U.S. and you're going to have to deal with a number of political issues that are going on that are unrelated to the drugs that are being moved. So that I make this clear to you. First of all, they have a program going on now which they're trying to retire the most senior U.S. prosecutors and agents to put together a program like this. You need the most senior people who are experienced in dealing with these kinds of cases and these kinds of problems. Number two, they are trying to reduce the size of the Internal Revenue Service. Well, one of the ways to go after these cartels and the leadership is to go after the money. If you can tie up the profit like any other business, the business is going to collapse. So the best way to do that is to go after the money, to prosecute money laundering and follow the trail of funds. Reducing the size of the Internal Revenue Service, which is one of the things on the political spectrum, is going to be tremendously damaging to the fight against money laundering, because those IRS agents are some of the best in the world at tracing funds. So there are a number of political issues, and the biggest one of all is that the leadership in each prosecutor's office, there are 93 U.S. attorneys' offices. This fight is not going to be done out of D.C. It's going to be done in the field. And so each one of the prosecutor's offices, 93 U.S. attorneys, have all been fired, and they're going to have new leadership in each office. And to try to put together a program like this when you're reducing the number of senior prosecutors and you're changing the leadership in each office is going to be difficult. And so it's going to be a tremendous task on the part of the new attorney general to pull together leadership to take over this kind of program.
Pues nos dice que es bastante difícil teniendo en cuenta los cambios políticos internos que están haciendo dentro de los Estados Unidos. Nos dice que, pues, si ellos son capaces de ir tras estos capos, le parece, pues, bien. Nos dice que es algo que aplaude, algo que hicieron en los 80s, en los 90s, y les fue bien en los carteles, pero nos dice que el negocio ha cambiado un poco, se fueron a México, los colombianos estaban moviendo esa droga de nuestro país a México y a los Estados Unidos, y el problema que ve de fondo es eso que nos mencionaba, y es esta época política en la que está los Estados Unidos realizando bastantes cambios internos, que nos dice que pues no están relacionadas con el movimiento de la droga, porque pues tienen ciertos programas ahora en los Estados Unidos en los que quieren retirar a los fiscales con más experiencia, a los seniors de las agencias, y poner un programa así y adelantar una agenda así, pues se necesitan personas con experiencias en estos casos y en este tipo de problemas. Y nos dice que también pues reducir el tamaño del programa de servicios de ingresos, que es el que va, o digamos la agencia que va tras esa plata sobre el lavado de activos. Nos dice que también es muy difícil, digamos, rastrear el dinero y atacar estos negocios con el dinero que tienen, si pues se disminuyen esas agencias que básicamente van tras este dinero. Y pues nos dice que el más grande de todo es cambiar el liderazgo de las 93 oficinas de fiscales que hay. Es una tarea difícil para el fiscal general tratar de, pues, digamos, tener un grupo de líderes en todas estas oficinas, así que él lo ve como una tarea bastante complicada.
En últimas, y desde la parte puramente operativa que él conoce bien, ¿no es precisamente ir por los intermediarios lo que permite llegar a las cabezas? ¿Son esos intermediarios los que acaban entregando la información que lleva a las grandes capturas?
From the operational point of view, isn't following and arresting this middleman what ends up helping catch the big fish?
Absolutely. There is a requirement that you, in our law, that you have first-hand testimony to convict anybody. That is, you have to have a witness who can say this is the man who was ordering the activities, the criminal activities that are being prosecuted. So it's very important that you get to a number of middlemen who will eventually testify. That's the way cases against major traffickers is going to have to be made. You're going to have to get people to come in and testify, and you're going to have people be able to explain books and records. And our system requires that if you want to get a electronic surveillance, you need to have an informant who's telling you a phone or a room or a communication device is being used to traffic narcotics. So it is essential to go after some middlemen in order to get witnesses and produce evidence to go after the highest traffickers.
Absolutamente, nos dice que la ley requiere de ir tras estas personas de mandos medios porque necesitan testimonios de primera mano para poder procesar a esos grandes capos. Nos dice que por eso es tan importante y tan esencial buscar a esas personas que están en los mandos medios para que puedan testificar y luego ir y buscar esa evidencia que los respalde. Entonces sí coincide con que pues los intermedios son los que nos permite o les permite al final de cuentas ir tras las cabezas grandes.
Chris, pero pues él fue fiscal y se pasó mucho tiempo deteniendo y haciendo estos casos en contra de narcos chiquitos, medianos o grandes. Pero yo le pregunto, ¿no será que no funcionó? ¿Por qué él estuvo tanto tiempo haciendo eso y después aparecía otro narco o otro grupo? ¿No será que a lo mejor esto es un cambio de estrategia que es necesario?
Mr. Gregory, you are a prosecutor, and of course you dealt with, I imagine, many drug dealers' cases. And every day we see more drug dealers and we see more drugs coming into the U.S. Don't you think that perhaps, even though it might sound odd, and as you say, the middleman had helped in the past get to the big fish, but maybe it wasn't like it was something that was necessary because there was no other option?
Well, if you say is there no other option to go after it, I would tell you that you're going to have to make cases from the bottom up in the terms of you're going to get the drugs, you're going to seize them. And so there are people transporting them. They're going to be moving drug proceeds, but somebody needs to tell you that those are in fact proceeds from drug traffic. You're going to need to have testimony regarding how the system works and what they do. I will tell you in my lifetime, I worked with Barry Seal and Max Mermelstein who trafficked in tons of drugs. I would tell you that Max Mermelstein in his testimony against Fabio Ochoa testified that he moved 300 tons of cocaine in his lifetime. So without a witness like that who can explain how the system works, it is almost impossible to achieve one of those prosecutions. Now, in order to do that, you have to get coordination between the different U.S. attorney's offices. Though they all work inside the Justice Department, they work in different districts, so they have to be coordinating with one another. And I think that's part of what this process, and I've only had a few minutes to look at it, that the new attorney general wants to get moving.
Pues nos dice que él, digamos, estado siguiendo estos casos durante mucho tiempo en su vida y pues para él sigue siendo esencial mirar estos casos de abajo hacia arriba. Tienen que ir detrás de el que transporta esta droga, coger su testimonio para saber cómo funciona el sistema, cómo es que lo hacen y pues en su vida trabajando nos dice que era súper indispensable esos testimonios de los testigos para ir, por ejemplo, tras Fabio Ochoa sin testigos, cómo explique cómo funciona el sistema, es imposible lograr procesar a estos peces gordos. Entonces nos dice que también es importante la coordinación entre las oficinas de los diferentes fiscales que funcionan en distintos distritos y ahí es donde cree que el fiscal general tiene que ponerse a trabajar.
Ante el aumento de cultivos de coca en Colombia, ¿considera usted que hay riesgo este año bajo la administración de Donald Trump de una desertificación para Colombia?
Given the increase of drug crops in Colombia, do you believe that there could be a possibility of a desertification by the U.S. government of Colombia? A desertification of Colombia?
I'm sorry, could you re-ask that question? I didn't quite understand it.
Yes. Every year the U.S. certifies Colombia as a country that it's collaborating in terms of a drug control. And some people believe that because of the increase in drug crops in Colombia, there could be a decertification that the Trump administration cancels that certification.
Well, there would be other implications from doing that, and I'm not certain on what basis you would say that Colombia is no longer involved in significant drug traffic. I'd love to be able to say that, but from my experience so far, I haven't seen that that's the case. Now, I know there's a lot of focus on fentanyl and other drugs that Colombia may not have as much a role in, but I think that there's still loads of cocaine coming up this way and other drugs. So I don't know that would necessarily be the case, at least not right now.
Thanks. Mr. Gregory, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling me. So good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Grace. What did happen at the end of the interview?
Pues habla sobre las implicaciones que tendría para Colombia este tráfico de drogas. No sabe o no entiende bien en qué se basan para decir que Colombia no está tan involucrado ahora en el tráfico de drogas, porque por su experiencia no ha sido así. Nos dice que todavía está saliendo mucha cocaína de Colombia que está llegando a los Estados Unidos. Nos dice que el foco puede ser que de los Estados Unidos sea ahora el fentanilo y otras drogas en las que Colombia no tiene un rol importante. importante, pero sí sigue siendo un jugador importante en el tema de la coca.